reveal who the Q movement is and who ran it and who did it later in the hour. Just because I need to do it, and it's already leaked out, but people haven't figured it out yet. But I'm not violating confidence because people figured it out, okay? It has to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And they tried to recruit me into it, and I said no. And I'm not going to say all the names. I'm going to say some of the names. But it was out of the White House, and it was Trump. And then the Democrats took control of it because Epstein was involved the whole time. But that's coming up later in the hour. Anthony Cumia, the important question, and this is a question for me, because I even said to my other host, I was like, listen, I don't control what you say, but my God, we're all Israel all the time and all Trump all the time, because I know it's front and center, but we got to worry about big tech and the Democrats and Gavin Newsom, and they just stole all these elections and got caught. And so how do you divide up how you cover stuff, and how do you get back to the Democrats? Because I know we need to be focusing, still expose bad stuff with Trump. Hell, we just did an hour of it. But how do we make ourselves get back over onto the Democrats?
Yeah, it's tough. It's you have to sort through so much news and so many different avenues to be able to run it through your own head and come out with something with some semblance of truth to it these days, which as a talk show host it gives you that much more work to do. But look, we did see at least some shenanigans going on with this L.A. Mayoral race. The allegations now in place that the homeless people were being paid.
Oh, they always $2. They always do that. That's confirmed. Yeah. And then almost all the new votes that came in were all for the people against Spencer Pratt.
All for Rahman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was insane. And this is terrible because it makes people think that our electoral system is rife with fraud. They won't go out and vote. It's all calculated also. I don't think they cheat to win necessarily. That's a side effect. I think they cheat to degrade our faith in the electoral system here in this country to keep us from going out and voting. Why would I bother if they're just going to steal it? That's a lot more effective than having to cheat every friggin' time you're running a candidate.
No, I agree.
So that makes a huge problem. And as far as the midterms go, if Trump doesn't pull this plane out of this dive we're in and have this last minute inflation goes down, gas goes down, we're done with Iran, we're going to be in trouble as Republicans when the midterms come around.
Exactly. And I've been saying that for 6 months. And then about 40% of my audience is mad, saying, no, just be a cheerleader, it'll be okay. And I'm like, no, I'm smart, I'm political. Look at the polls. Even Trump admits he's, it's like, what do you say to the white pillars that say never question as a constituent, never get mad when we think they're getting off track? That's a cult.
That's insane. That's a cult. And you are going to pay for it one way or another, even if this person does win the election, if that's the way they have to win, by you just blindly following them. If something doesn't change very quickly, we are going to be in big trouble in November. You know, people are fickle. Alex, we've seen it. The way the polls go, oh my God, he's up this day, he's down that day. People are fickle. Right now, what's happening right now to make me want to vote for you? Right up till election day. And I don't think right now, based on where we are, that the midterms are going to be very nice to Republicans.
Oh, I had Mark Mitchell, the top pollster, on like 6 months ago. And Vance saw it, flew him up there, had him meet with Trump for 3 hours. His own internal polls were like, you're sliding, and now we see it. And just Trump didn't listen at the time. It's bad. This is tough love for Trump, but I agree, we got 5 months. How can he still pull out?
It would be a miracle. There's too many issues that are weighing the party down. And there are too many serious issues that you can't just solve overnight. This is big trouble, Alec.
Yeah, we're not going to lie to you. Censored.tv, find him, Gavin McGinnis, the rest of the crew. We love you. Anthony Cumia, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alex. Love you, bro.
Love you, too. Vindicated. He's actually one of my peers. There's not many of them. He's as censored as I am. We'll be right back.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax. Not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Former Green Beret A-Team, and of course, the most famous combat correspondent living. He's caught some of the greatest battles and shootouts, you name it, on tape around the world. And a geopolitical expert. I remember when Trump got shot at Butler, or said he got shot at Butler, Yon coming out and saying, I think that's fake. Well, I mean, then they're all better actors than Al Pacino. I mean, you know, and so guy got killed, people got shot. We know there was another shooter. We could see in citizen video a bullet coming through bags and stuff where it hit somebody. But it could have been staged. Well, now, and I already knew this, but couldn't talk about it. Tucker Carlson, who was deeply embedded at the White House until just about 3 months ago, but a year plus ago, when this was, when the cover-up was happening, when Trump got in for 6 months, I was there when Bongino was calling him up at his house. I mean, I stayed with Tucker. I was there when Trump was calling up, and he'd have to go away for 45 minutes to talk to him. And he told me some stuff off record that he's now come out and talked about. And I was just talking to Tucker on text this morning. I'm going to talk to him. He's in San Francisco now when he gets off his plane. I think he's off now as soon as the show's over. I'm going to talk to him. But Tucker Carlson has the highest level of credibility in sources. And he says Bongino hysterically called him last December and said, no, I've been ordered to cover this up by Trump. Now, we knew Trump ordered the Epstein cover-up. I had that from sources a year and a half ago. And then people didn't believe me. And a week later, he came out and said, yeah, you're not MAGA if you look into Epstein. So this isn't about bashing Trump. It's just about the fact that he is the one covering it all up. So is he? Did they actually almost kill him and he's scared? We know he ordered Cash Patel to not look at foreign involvement killing Charlie Kirk. And I broke that 6 days after it happened that it was Patel. Now I've confirmed it was Trump told him that. And it was Trump leaked the Axios stuff on Netanyahu, and I told you that. And then it came out a week later, indeed, that was true. But why is he doing it? So he's just doing a pop-in today. I'm inviting him on a special show I'm doing like noon to 3 tomorrow, Central, here on the Alex Jones Network. But I want to just get a quick snapshot with Michael Yon now on his prognosis of where Trump's at. I know he'll say, well, who cares? I just want to worry about the other issues. Well, it still matters to understand what's coming in the midterms. Israel openly trying in the Defense Authorization Act to literally take over the military and intelligence. It's what it says. Netanyahu bragging he wrote it. Quote, my plan. Thanks for implementing my plan in letters to Congress. The Army coming out. Defense Intelligence Agency saying the number one threat to national security is now Israel. That shows a major loggerhead finally coming out. And then how the Iran situation ties into that. He was on a few weeks ago and said, look for China to start sending in more ships in the Strait of Malacca by Singapore. That's now happened. So just 35,000-foot view. But first, why did you think, as a Green Beret trained guy, that Butler was fake? Looked real to me. I'm not saying you were wrong. I wasn't saying you have a right to say it. But now, learning that Trump ordered a cover-up of Butler, why would he do that if it wasn't fake? Michael Yon.
It was obviously fake. Like, doesn't mean people didn't die. I mean, you know, people all the time, as you know, I mean, the name of your show is InfoWars. I mean, you know, InfoWars can be quite substantial. They'll kill 10,000 people as stage props. That's nothing. That's zero. This is the type of camera that the photographer was using. I use it every day. In fact, I'm talking to you through one, and there's one right there, and this is it right here. It's a Sony Alpha 1, right? And this is the lens, 24 millimeter. That's what he was using. I'm extremely familiar with that lens. I mean, in that camera, I mean, that's what's in my hand all the time. And, you know, it's a Sony Alpha 1. And so with a 24 millimeter lens, and you know, it was a fine choice for that shot. And, but you know, having done a ton of combat photography, I can tell you, and also keep in mind, I was a weapons specialist in special forces. So I have a sort of a different skill stack. I've, you know, done a lot of combat photography, but I also know something about weapons and sniper weapons. I have photography from Afghanistan when I'm shooting through the scope of a British sniper's rifle. He leans over so I can hit, and then he took a shot, right? I mean, I was doing stuff like that all the time. That's published. And so, you know, I'm very familiar with incoming shots.
So what you're saying is you're an expert, fully vetted to speak on this.
I know it. So when I looked at that, yeah, I was saying all that to set the table. When I saw that shot, like, I don't know everything that's fake, but I know what's real. You know, that's how the tellers catch the fraud, right? With the counterfeit. They know what real feels like, and that doesn't feel real. If you look at the bullet trace, there was a bullet trace photo to the right of that. Now, you know, the photographer, what's his name? Mills. You know, he Doug Mills, I think, is that right?
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah, and so, you know, as soon as I saw that shot, I'm like, no. And actually, we went to a range in Texas and tried to recreate it, and I challenged everybody in America with a similar rifle, get out there and shoot 10,000 rounds and see if you can get that shot. I've never seen any photography. Nobody has ever produced a photo like that. There's one Olympic photo, which is some very low velocity round. It's, you know,
so you're saying the cameras couldn't catch that round at 150 yards would probably be going 2,300 feet per second. It wouldn't pick it up.
No way. I mean, have you ever seen one? I mean, there's millions of combat photos out there, whether it's street combat and streets of Texas or in Vietnam or all over the world. There's millions of combat photos. Nobody's ever produced one. I've never seen one.
In fact, you shot some really famous up-close shootouts with Al-Qaeda, right, that have been ultra-famous where you're shooting high speed, and I think you even grabbed a rifle and started shooting at Al-Qaeda when that general got shot, and you don't see any of the bullets flying there.
There's one bullet that hits right by me, and you can see it. I did catch it on the – it was a hit right by a lieutenant's head, but that's hitting the wall, and that's published
under
the dispatch
gates of
fire.
No, the impact of a bullet – I've caught plenty of those shooting, and I get it, but not the bullet in free fly.
No, never saw that. I mean, and I'm not talking about a tracer, obviously, and your viewers know what tracers are, and I would say 99% of them anyway, right? And so it's obviously not a tracer. I've just never seen a shot like that. I mean, and there you go. I mean, now keep in mind, I'm not alleging fraud that they did fraud with the photography. I'm not going to get into that defamation lawsuit, but I will say this. These cameras, you can attach a device to it that, you know, when I shoot the photo, as you know, it'll go right to the editor. It would be, you know, this can be back at the editing desk in seconds, actually, right? And in fact, the first thing I said
could they have shot at him with a 22 caliber pellet gun, which would have been able to be picked up by a camera. So they have real gunfire going, but then actually shoot him with a pellet gun. That way, if it actually hit him more dead.
Okay. Keep in mind, that's a bullet trace, too. That's the, you know, as you know, when you shoot rounds, you'll sometimes get a bullet trace depending on conditions. But the first thing I said on day one was, if this is legit, the first thing you're going to do is release the raw photos, right? You're going to, sometimes people said some of my combat photos were faked because they're pretty intense, like Eric Carrilla getting shot and that bullet hitting and hand-to-hand combat and all these sorts of things. I mean, I got it all, you know, many, many times and many firefights. And at times I'm like, be careful saying something's fake, brother, because we'll end up in a courtroom. I'll have the raw images and then I'll have your house, right? Because I'm not playing around. If those photos were real, the first thing I would do is release the raw images, because those are harder to fake. That way you're just defending your credibility. That's all. I'm not saying that those are fraud, but the whole setup is clearly fraud. And I've never seen a photo like that. Something is way off.
Well, what we know is, because he's been in charge of this administration. He really wasn't last time. He's in charge. He ordered an Epstein cover-up. He's ordered a Butler cover-up. Why would he order a Butler? Well, here's Tucker Carlson talking about it with Mario Nafal. Here's the clip.
I know that about Butler. I know that Trump shut down the investigation into Butler. That is a fact. Dan Bongino told me that when he worked at the FBI. And Dan Bongino himself was terrified when I spoke to him in December. It's such a long, boring story, but basically I came accidentally came into possession of a lot of the social media posts that we were told didn't exist that were posted by Thomas Crooks in the months and years before the shooting. And I was amazed that the FBI had lied about this. So I called Kash Patel and I later called Dan Bongino and I says, you know, what is this? I'm not attacking you. It was the previous FBI administration that did this. It was Chris Wray, but what is this? And Dan Bongino became hysterical with me on the phone. I've known Dan a long time, for many years, and always gotten along with him, you know, whatever his faults, nice guy, nice, certainly very nice to me. I never had a problem with Dan ever. And that problem began when I brought this information to his attention, and he became a different person. He was clearly terrified. I didn't get it at first, but he was hysterical. And ultimately, after a long series of text exchanges, which I still have, and phone conversations, he said, look, take it up with Trump. He's the one who shut down the investigation. And that was, I think, the first or second week of December. I think it was the beginning of the second week of December. I have it written down. But that was the moment and I realized, oh, wow, you know, there's no good explanation for shutting down an investigation into your own attempted murder. Like, this is not what we've been told it was.
But Bongino says, NEPO, baby Tucker is lying. And I'm showing, I don't know acronyms. What's NEPO? What's that mean? Guys, anybody know what NEPO means? All I know is Bongino a few months ago told a complete lie about me and said I had him on as a guest during the break, said let's lie to the listeners about something, wouldn't say what it was, would never do that, never done that. The man is a fraud. Just a fact. I'm nothing against him. I'm just a damn liar. What does this sound like to you, Michael Yon?
Just a normal fraud. I mean, it's quite clear who these people are. And so, you know, Bongino, you only need to watch him for just a couple of minutes. The red flags are shooting all over the place. And the whole thing's a setup and a fraud. This is what they do on a daily basis. You know, again, why did I publish last year that I thought that the Zionists would close the Strait of Hormuz and blame Iran? And then they did, right? Because, I mean, that's exactly what's happening now. That's just how they roll. And as you very well know, that they, I mean, doing Hollywood stunts like this is normal. I mean, you know, Hollywood. I'm very glad I didn't do that movie with Bruce Willis, by the way. I'm very glad I didn't do it, because now, you know, now I see more of the game.
What was the Bruce Willis movie?
Oh, Bruce reached out to me when I was doing combat photography, and he wanted to do a movie about my life. And then Eric got shot after that. I said, you should do a movie about Eric, not me. I mean, he's the stud. I'm just here with the camera, you know? So anyway, Bruce
you're
and
about
I
the, were... You're about the head of CENTCOM.
Yeah, well, he was head of CENTCOM. Yeah. Well, at that time, when he got shot, he was the commander of Deuce 4, 124th Infantry Regiment in Mosul. And then an incredible commander. And he got shot. And then next thing you know, years later, he was commander of CENTCOM. He was the guy that was doing the original bombings on Iran, actually.
Yeah, didn't you say you were there? They blew his femur and he fell down but still kept shooting the Al-Qaeda people.
Oh, yeah, and I got it at 5 frames a second. I mean, you know, I used to keep the cameras attached to my body armor so I could keep my hands free, but I was running down that alley. I was much skinnier then, and I was running down the alley, and since we were in a firefight, I just kept my finger on the button, and it's, you know, it's very fast autofocus. And Eric took a burst and got hit 3 times, broke a femur, another shot, and got hit in the bicep. He rolled, so I've got him at 5 frames a second, rolling, you know, high resolution, you know, $8,000 camera and professional lens. And Eric rolls and stays on the ground, of course, because his femur's broken in half. And he starts returning fire right there. And, you know, and you can see in the original photos when Eric is getting shot, there's no dust in the air, but there's moon dust there. So when you get into a firefight, that dust starts popping up. So you can see that, you know, it's starting to get a lot of moon dust in those later shots. And then anyway, then I had to get involved in the firefight and all that stuff.
So,
at the end of the day, Eric lived.
What do you think changed, or do you think Trump's always been bad? And what do you think he's going to do now?
He's always been bad. You know, when Newt Gingrich called me up before the very first election trying to get support, you know, I'm like, you got to have somebody else. I mean, I'm not going to vote for a Clinton, obviously. I mean, I'm not going to vote for one of those monsters, but you got to have somebody else. I don't trust the guy. Many people have said that I turned my back on Trump. I'm like, nope, you will find 0 days when I supported Trump. Search all you want. Get at it. You won't find it. It never happened because I could see right through that guy. I can see through him like an X-ray, you know, because you can see yourself and you can see your opposite. And he's my opposite. You know, he's so easy to predict. I just imagine, what would I do in this situation? I pick the opposite, and that's what he does. I mean, he's amazingly easy to predict. He's a traitor. He's an absolute traitor. And so that's, you know, it's very clear.
Well, have you seen the NDAA legislation? I mean, it literally has Israel taking over the government.
Yeah, I mean, these are sorts of things that many people have talked about for years, that they would end up doing things like this. I've publicly said things like this. I mean, they're clearly coming. They will use that. You know, keep in mind, Eric Carrillo, the one that got shot, he was the best combat leader I've ever seen. And I've been out with a lot of combat leaders, really great ones. And he ended up being, you know, a commander of Ranger Regiment, and then he's commander of all special operations forces. And then he took CENTCOM, right? Now, to take CENTCOM, you have to be super in love with Israel, or you're not going to be in command of CENTCOM, right? And, you know, Eric wanted to take the whole Sinai Peninsula and that sort of thing. But I'll tell you what, I mean, Eric was the one that was giving the orders for the first, attacks on Iran, the more recent war when it broke out. You know, I met Petraeus in the business lounge of in LAX, I don't know, before the war started. And I was like, there he is. What's he doing here? I went up and started talking with him. And he's like, hey, Michael, how you doing? I'm like, what are you doing in business class? You know what I mean? And we started talking about Eric. You know, Eric Petraeus obviously was also the CENTCOM commander at an earlier time, right? And he was later, you know, director of DCI, right? Director of CIA. And so I walked up and we're talking with him. And, you know, he starts talking about Eric too. I mean, he's like, Eric's doing a great job over there. And, you know, in the Middle East now, what do you think? And I'm like, you know, I don't like it. You know, I like him. I mean, thought he was incredible.
So let's go back to this. You were on about 2 years ago. And you said, I predict Israel's biting off more than it can chew, and it's going to end up getting destroyed in the end, and Israel's done. Now, back then, that was quite a wild statement. Now, it's the most unpopular country in the world. Everybody's turning against him. But Israel keeps doubling down, making arrogant statements about greater Israel. What is Israel thinking? Because I'm somewhat of a geopolitical, you know, person that studies it, and military, I study it, and I study the other analysts that are very accurate. They say Israel's in deep crap long term. Why did they do this?
I think that the Zionists are actually going to sacrifice Israel. I think they're going to go ahead and kill it, and I think it's kind of obvious actually when you go over to Israel and see. I mean, they don't care about the Israelis. What Zionists don't care about Jews. They don't care about any of those guys. This is a much bigger game. This is a much, much bigger game than Israel. Israel, they want that land, right? I just had a couple of books come in recently from 1855 from a British naval officer named William Allen, and he's proposing a canal through Israel, right? Through the Med, to the Dead, to the Red, from the Mediterranean to the Dead Sea to the Red Sea, right? And he goes into detail, and it's fascinating books. And I mean, that what I'm getting to is, Israel is amazingly important because of location, 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 and resources, like Panama, except even more so, right? Panama is very similar in so far as location, 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 and tons of resources. But you take that with Israel, and it's like, you know, times 10 or more, right? I think they're going to go for Malacca eventually. The first time I went to take a look at that in this regard was 2014. Al Johnson and I went to Thailand. We went to the Kra Isthmus in 2014. And we're like, you know, sooner or later, something's going to happen to the Strait of Malacca. And, you know, they'll probably do something here. Now, of course, the Chinese and the Thais and the Singaporeans are talking big about, you know, doing a canal car, or let's say a land bridge across the Kra Isthmus there in Thailand. This is all related, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, Misako and I, my wife and I, we were just up at Denmark recently before this war broke out. And I published, I said, I think that we will attack Iran. And I think the attack will happen between March 3rd and like February 23rd or something like that. I don't recall. But I gave it those bookends. I thought it would happen. And I thought the most likely date of attack would be March 3rd. I had reasons for saying that, actually. And I said, you know what? We're in Denmark. We're looking at the Danish Strait, where the UN has a huge headquarters right there, of course, right on the Danish Strait. So I said, you know what? We got to punch out of here. I don't want to get caught in Qatar or Dubai if they start lobbing missiles back and forth. So we left Denmark and we flew through through Turkey in that instance. And there was IOM actually shipping people to Vancouver, getting on a flight. But anyway, and then, you know, of course, then we got to Thailand and we started looking at that Kra Isthmus area again. And then, boom, they started the shooting just after we got through. Right. And of course, they didn't start shooting at Turkey yet, but eventually they're going to go for Turkey. I guarantee it. They're going to go for Turkey.
No, you said that a few years ago. And now Ben Gavir and all of them are saying that. And when you say Israel gets sacrificed, they're setting up another World War II scenario where they're the victims at the end of it. They sacrifice a bunch of Jews. But so how does that scenario go down? How does the fall of Israel happen?
I think that they'll because a lot of those Israelis there are in the way, right? Just like, you know, when Mao and those guys took over, a lot of the true communists were in the way, right? You know, they were just like a lot of Americans are in the way. The true blue Americans like us, we're in the way, right? They don't want us around. They don't want the Irish around. The Irish are being genocided too, right? It's a soft genocide at this point. But I think that they'll... right now they're using the Israelis as useful idiots, which is what they've always been. That's why they're even there, right? You know, Theodore Herzl and all those guys, they were brought there to, you know, every war you've ever studied is about routes, resources, and ideology. And the biggest resource on planet Earth always has been human resources. That's why that's what it says on the company door, human resources, right? Human resources are number one. And ideology, InfoWars, is used in the service of controlling human resources with which you can then control the other routes and resources, right? And so the ideology was used to get these useful idiots to go over to Israel and fight against all the Arabs and whatnot. And, you know, they've been killing Christians there too, and Jews, as you know. And so this it's a big, big game. It's much bigger than most people can imagine. You talk about it all the time. And so I think a lot of your listeners are actually tracking. But most people out in the wild, they don't even have any idea what you're talking about.
Well, Frank Herbert was quite the geopolitical expert. And he wrote Dune as an allegory for how things really work in the world. And that's exactly it. You think the Harkonnens are the bad guys. They are bad. But really, Paul Atreides and the galactic jihad that kills, you know, tens of millions of people creates this galactic tyranny. The savior is actually the tyranny. And it shows how they use this long-term ideological system to bring it in.
You told me about Dune a couple of years ago, and I'm sad to say I haven't actually read it. I need to read it because that's the second time you mentioned it that I recall. And, you know, and these things, I mean, they definitely, you know, flag in advance the things that they're going to do, whether in movies or in books and that sort of thing. It's fascinating.
All right, Michael Yawn, I want to just tell me when you want to come on tomorrow or next week. Let us know. I want to do the big deep dive on the geopolitical developments. I always knew you were smart, but man, everything you talked about is coming true. We'll get you to break it down. How do people find you, Michael Yawn?
I'm on Substack under my name, Big Honey or Michael Yawn. I'd love to come on tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about.
All right, let's get you on at like 1:30 then. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. I'm going to get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, you know, if you're a VIP, you get surveys. And, you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting, or what are you liking best, or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time. And so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. But so We got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I don't know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I mean, I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, they had a sickly kid or a preemie. They would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It was like, it's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors, like that's the, oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa, man. I mean, like that, donkey. And then horse is good. Goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, you know, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, you know, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys. So you're going to have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from. And I'm like, eh, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. You know, women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it's in a back problem that I've had since Alex was born. It's almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take, you know, months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step
about
in
to expose the
InfoWar.
The
articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
And killing Eddie Bravo, Lenny Del Rey. AI is something else. Tony Rollo Show until next and Rumble. I suggest you share it. All right. You know, I hesitate to do this because there's so many points I want to make and so many angles. It's been so frustrating knowing this the whole time and sitting there and putting up with people under its undue influence. And of course, knowing. I have the facts and the information, but being given information in confidence, I have this big thing about never violating somebody's confidence because I wear a journalistic hat. I'm a pundit, promoter of freedom, talk show host, do some comedy as well. I wear a lot of hats, but whenever I'm wearing a hat, I tell you what hat I'm wearing. I'm a father, I'm an American, I'm a patriot, Christian, first and foremost. But I went and aired a few of those great music videos because I'm just sitting here during the break going, God, there's so much to say about this. And then there's so much I don't want to say because I don't want to be nasty about it. Because I think, you know, the jury's still out on some of these people. And I still don't know all the pieces to it. But then I'm thinking during the break, I'm like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that too. And I'm like, oh, I do have the other pieces. But you can't wait forever to talk about something just so you get it perfectly right. It's like Rush says, you may choose not to make a choice, but you have still made a choice. That's usually the worst choice. So my gut tells me to talk about the real origins of Q, which I've done before without naming names. And, you know, the average Q people are just like, oh, the Q's above God, 87 trillion miles away in a trillion D chess world. You can't even believe the power of it. But the pieces have all come out, and what it is there. And I guess the real reason I'm going to talk about this is, we have all the pieces and we know the big pieces and a lot of the basics, but we need some of the people involved to respond and explain their side to us and tell us what it is. We need the public to also ferret through all that and do their own research with human intelligence, knowing the basic answer, but then to try to get more on it because it's quite a phenomenon beyond just Q getting into Operation Trust. By the way, pull that up, Operation Trust on Wikipedia, Russia's Operation Trust, because I want to explain this to people. When I say we don't have all the answers, I don't know who all the guilty people are, and I don't know what its full potential end game was. We're talking about Q here. So I'm kind of having a brainstorm before I talk about this just because it's a big deal. So here is a quick little update, an R&B version of my famous We Love Our Somalis, We Love Our Muslims to music video, and then I'm going to come back and cover it all and release the information. Here it is.
Ah! Yeah! They got green looking skin and they dash around hollering, we love Satan, we want to devour babies.
I kill my kids.
I caught them on video.
We love Satan, so yeah.
Hillary's deep in the creepy weird sick stuff, man. She crashes in the same room with that creepy weird old chick whose mom dolls a hood over her head.
What the heck?
That chick a
Coming to you live
to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this global transmission. And so now I am going to reveal to you the true origins of the Q movement, all the rumors, all the movies, all the books, all the speculation, all of it, horse crap. Now, the WikiLeaks came out. I didn't know Julian Assange. We weren't involved with him, but Roger Stone was starting to work at InfoWars in 2016. And he'd heard through Randy Credico that knew Assange that they were going to release bombshell stuff on Hillary. He didn't know the specifics. And we were trying to get a hold of Assange, trying to get him on, just the big guess is what you do in talk radio and TV. Later, they indicted Roger for lying to Congress, saying that he wasn't involved with WikiLeaks, which he wasn't. I was there. I know. I was like pressuring him to, you know, try to get him on. And so, but we were really good. We had a lot more reporters and crew then. Paul Watson, when the WikiLeaks came out, you didn't have AI to go over it. Millions of pages. Watson just stayed up for like 3 days and broke like 20 huge stories or more. And Drudge was linking to all of them. I mean, one article had like 20 million readers in one day. And it was just boom. And the Democrats decided, they said, okay, Jones is working with another group of the CIA or something. This is too sophisticated. They opened a national security investigation on us. They got declassified, came after me hardcore. You know the rest of the story. And really, we were just not lazy and knew how to go in and search stuff and get it out. And Drudge was a big fan, and so was publishing. And it was just, you know, that. And other people were getting it, too. It just wasn't, I mean, we had like an article an hour coming out with millions of readers and viewers. I mean, hundreds of millions of views a day. Just dominant, biggest show ever. Joe Rogan, hold my beer. Number one, undoubtedly. We were already number one, but it was like number one to the next order. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you about that time and what happened. And then thousands of articles a week attacking us, hundreds of TV programs attacking us, and just total insanity. So I'm talking to Trump a lot at the time when he's president-elect. And I'm talking to his crew, and I'm talking to his people. And right after the inauguration, 2017, and I'm not going to name names on these people, I'll name the big names. I get contacted by people I know that work in the White House, and they said, listen, we saw the trouble you're getting putting out the WikiLeaks. And I'm like, hey, we didn't put that out. We just covered it. No, we know that. But imagine if you could do that through like 4chan or 8chan, but also kind of add some treasure hunt to it. You know, some game theory to it. That's what it is. It's Dungeons and Dragons, basically. That's what the Q stuff is. And then you don't get any of the heat or attacks, but then all this stuff we've got on them, we can feed out, and then you can boost it. Would you like to be involved? And I said, well, who's running this? I said, well, Trump knows, and Steve Bannon's managing it. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll meet with you. Months go by. Then I get a visit down here in Austin, Texas by some White House people. And I'm at my house, and Rob Dew was there. And we're out on my back porch. February or whatever it was. It was still cold. We had a fire going. There was a pool table out there. We're playing pool. And they're like, yeah, you know, so we want to work with you and you can boost the stuff and you can have ideas and stories you're working on, but we can get it, add intel to it and put it out and not have any of the heat. And I said, you know, Anonymous has been out forever. It's a Guy Fox mask, and anybody can put it on. And people always ask, is Anonymous real? Well, it's just a guy in a Guy Fox mask. A billion people could be Anonymous. It's just, it is Anonymous. You never know who it really is, so you can't say is Anonymous good or bad. It's whatever the person's saying, whoever's saying they're Anonymous. I said, I've never worked with a party. I've never worked with an agency. This person's been in intelligence. I said, I'm sorry. I said, if you got some big story, you want me to boost it, I can vet it. I'll be happy to boost it, but I'm not getting involved. And, you know, Rob Dew was there at the meeting. He can vouch for all that. And I said, that's it. But I said, thank you very much. You know, it's kind of like Don Corleone said, the best for your business. I wish you luck. But when this business is a little too dangerous, I'm not going to be part of that. Well, thank you very much. So that happened. And then I'm not really covering the Q thing, but 8 months later, 10 months later, whatever it was, I get some calls. And they said, listen, it got taken away from us, just like you said. And now the bad guys have it, and it's not good anymore. I'm like, well, what do I do with that? And I really wasn't covering it, but it was becoming this sensation. You have shots on Air Force One and shots of this to add credibility to it. And people don't want to ever have clear answers. Like, here's actual legislation to build FEMA camps, put you in them. But if you hear a rumor of it, people love it. I wasn't really covering all the Q stuff at the time. And then I started kind of going, well, now, folks, it can be taken control of. And maybe there's some good Q people and some bad Q people. But I was just on my own trying to, like, not repeat what I'd been told. I was just told, watch out for it, but at the same time, kind of just market for people to say, hey, anybody could say they're this, like anybody could say they're anonymous. Anybody could wear a IRA shirt, like the British intelligence used to do, and then shoot videos saying horrible things. Or, you know, anybody can go attack their own synagogue or their own black church and say some white guy did it. I mean, you know, you could false flag this. And so we saw all that go on and all that happen, and then so many people didn't vote in 2020 because they thought Trump was invincible and couldn't lose. And I had, you know, famous CIA guys like Pachinik telling me, oh, no, Q's real. It's all great. You should get behind it. And then I wouldn't do it because I'm the people that started it. And they said, look out, it's been co-opted. And so that I'll get attacked by, you know, people that are involved, you know, down low that, you know, think they're part of some secret thing and they're not. And then I saw Kurt Metzger over the weekend on his show with Duncan Trussell here in Austin. Really funny comedian, great analyst, co-host Jimmy Dore, nail it and say what it was. Now, his interpretations of Bannon and stuff might be wrong, but I already, you know, in the last 5-6 months when all these Jeffrey Epstein files came out, 3+ million, saw Bannon in there with Epstein, the founders of 4chan, 8chan, the other big similar things, meeting with them, going to meetings, talking about how they're using it for political purposes. And I started thinking, I'm like, was it always going to be used to attack the real patriots? And then I'm just told, oh, we lost control of it, so I wouldn't think it was them doing bad things with it. And I'm not saying that. We need Steve Bannon to respond to this, because I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. I don't give up confidences on something unless what's going on is illegal. Because I need to be able to have these meetings with different groups and people, you know, with my journalistic hat on. But when I saw that Metzger got it and others had figured it out, I was just like, well, now's the time. Because I almost talked about this in the last 6 months when all the Epstein stuff was coming out. Because there is Bannon, there is Epstein, right when, you know, they're starting the 4chan and the 8chan with the heads of it. And then right when they say we're going to be political now with this, right when Trump wins. And I was read in on this, not that Epstein was involved, but that, you know, Bannon and Trump were running it. And then here's the adjuncts under it. And they wanted me to work with it. And I said, no, thanks, because I'm not going to join any group so I can be totally independent. That's a very important thing. Because then once you do that, it's like, hey, buddy, you work for us. No, I'm independent. So, I mean, I'll work with people and they got good information I can vet. I'll collaborate, but I ain't under your flag. Just no, sir. So then, I mean, anybody wants to look into this doesn't know about it. There's articles about it that they don't really fully get it. Some get part of it. But you can just go into the Epstein, you know, the big data dump of 3 million plus files 5-6 months ago, and it's hundreds and hundreds of emails. And Steve Bannon is the second most talked to person in there by Epstein. Thousands and thousands of communications. And look, he never made a secret that he knew him. He was heavily politically powerful. I knew he worked for the Trial Commission starting in 91. He was like 29. I didn't realize that by the mid-2000s, he was really sitting in for David Rockefeller, the head of the Trilateral Commission, and he basically was the head of the Trilateral Commission. So Alex Jones is not always right. Epstein was way more powerful than even I knew. So obviously Bannon's this political guy. He wants populist movements, all this stuff he's pushing, I think, from a real place. Well, then you go to that phantom head, the shadow head of the Trilateral Commission, to get that done. And I'm not being an apologist for him. I'm saying I knew some of that was going on, but not the hugeness of the relationship when it came out. And imagine what we don't know. So it just gives you a look into this whole underworld, you know, there in Gotham. So I'm told by the people that set it up 8 months into it or 9 months, whatever it was, that, oh, it's been taken away. You better watch out. And like you said, just let people know. It's just like anonymous. Anybody can say their cue. People got to be careful. And I was like, well, that's fine. I never really messed with it. So, okay, I just cover stuff I can prove. But now that you have this Epstein involved day one and going to conferences and going and meeting and going and staying with the founder of 4chan and 8chan and these other groups and Reddit and trying to control the minds of young men and all the rest of it, all I'm saying is that that's where it came from. It did come out of the first Trump administration. They tried to recruit me into it in front of Rob Due, witness, and I didn't like the feeling of it, just didn't like it, and said, no, thank you. I don't deal with esoteric stuff or Gnostic stuff. Again, people love something they can't really prove. They love an Easter egg hunt. They love a scavenger hunt. They love a war game. And they talk about themselves in the Epstein files as like dungeon masters and D&D and gaming theory. That's what it is. But you take a real world of politics and geopolitics and military and culture, and then you create a game version where you control the rules by the inputs. You're the dungeon master. You're the guy that controls the game. You're the guy that is the referee. And now you can direct people believing they're in a secret army or a secret group under the command of the president, and that you're being given secret esoteric knowledge. And in truth, you are in a group created by the president. But then now it's been captured, they tell you, by this other group and starts doing all this embarrassing and bad stuff, and RFK or JFK Jr.'s coming back, and you'll be at Dealey Plaza, and you know, Biden's going to be executed in public, you know, at the inauguration 2021. None of that's true. None of that's real. And so I don't know who the good guys are and the bad guys. I'm not blaming anybody, because I don't know enough about all the little inside things on it. I just know who started it. I know where it came from. And indeed, it did come out of the first Trump administration. And now that type of thinking is all over the place. And the Democrats have their blue one on. And you deserve to know what it is. And so that's the facts. And that's what I told you. And then when the people at the White House that created it told me it's not good now, I come out and say it's not good now. And then I get attacked. Was that even a setup to get them to attack me? I don't know. But we'll be back with the Kurt Mesker clip that got me going on this. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.